Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Church of Jesus Christ Study Session with Come Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts and this is Season 6, Episode 1. Yes, we are starting the new season for the new year. Yes, we are, you know, a week or so late. We've missed the first week of the Come Follow Me study. But we've all returned back to school, we were all back in routine and it's the Tuesday and so I just figured, well, we may as well begin now and begin with 1 Nephi chapter 1 with everyone else. Yes, we haven't looked at the introductory pages as with everyone last week, but we'll start from here and hopefully I'll get back into the habit again of recording a daily study session of something that I learned from this study. So, starting with 1 Nephi chapter 1, of course, if you've been with the podcast or been listening since near the beginning, this was the first full year of scripture that we studied on this podcast. Was the Book of Mormon, and we are here again. So in a way I'm quite glad that I'm still doing this semi-regularly. Still, obviously, I know that last year, well, if you just look at the number of episodes that was published last year, it's nowhere near the number as previous years, but you know, hopefully we can get a bit more regular again this year, despite the number of big things that are happening this year for our family, but we will see how we get on. So let's just begin. 1 Nephi chapter 1, it begins with the phrase, of course, I Nephi have been born of godly parents. Now, we've all probably read this the most out of the standard works, as perhaps starting the Book of Mormon is something which members of the church do most often. John W. Welch said this about that phrase, quote, the English word good, goodly, or in the Hebrew word Nephi used that it stands behind it, indicated more than Nephi's parents' generosity, excellence, or grace. It could also mean honourable, fair, or attractive. In other words, they had good social standing and were likely looked reputable. In fact, Lehi was probably a member of the ruling class due to having inherited land. In other words, there was no reason why the people in Jerusalem should have discounted Lehi's testimony. Close quote. It also gives us an indication just how much Lehi is willing to leave behind within this chapter when he decides that they need to leave, actually in the next chapter, that is, where that happens. Moving forward, we have Lehi in verse 5. It says, wherefore it came to pass in that my father Lehi, as he went forth, prayed unto the Lord, yea, even with all his heart, in behalf of his people. I suppose one of the things that we need to reflect on is, and obviously this is kind of the second time we're going through this whilst I'm doing the podcast, so I'm trying to find and reflect on different questions and things here than I have perhaps previously. Although, of course, it has been 4 years since we studied this particular verse or this particular section, so, you know, I don't really remember what I said or focused on 4 years ago. But I'm going to use the Come Follow Me manual to help guide my thoughts for a start, which is slightly different to what it was 4 years ago. So that will help. But also, I don't know if this has stood out to me before yet. It may well have done 4 years ago. It's just one of those things, really. But Lehi wasn't a prophet at this point. Lehi was one of the people. He was one of the people listening to the prophets at this point. In fact, in verse 4, it talks about the prophets who were prophesying to the people to repent. Lehi was not one of them at this point. But what he does do is that he hears what the prophets are saying. He goes to his home, or he goes in front of a rock, and he prays unto the Lord with all his heart in behalf of all his people. Notice that he's not, you know, just praying for himself. He's not even just praying for his family. He's praying for his people. He's praying for everyone he knows, even the people he doesn't know that live with him or live around him, his neighbors. And I think that's a wonderful lesson we learn from Lehi in just the fifth verse of this first chapter of the Book of Mormon, that this great charity and love that Lehi must have had, which of course then leads to the events which happens the pillar of fire, which appears on the rock before him, and he hears and sees much. He then goes to his own home, and he's overcome by the Spirit and sees this great vision. And what's interesting is that in this vision, in verse 11, it says, and they came down and went forth on the face of the earth. And he's talking about the 12 others that were with the Lord. And the first came and stood before my father and gave unto him a book and bade him that he should read. Now, again, you know, it's fascinating and it's important. And we need to reflect on the imagery behind what's going on here. But why a book? Why couldn't this person speak to Lehi? Why couldn't Lehi just be given this information in his mind and his heart? We've seen this happen, of course, in many other revelations. The prophet Joseph Smith, when he received the location of the Book of Mormon, he received it in his mind. Moses received his instructions as a new prophet from the voice of the Lord. Lehi has been given a book. Now, there is always a purpose, a need, an import, a way in which the Lord has done this. And one way or reason I can see that he's given a book and this fills him with the Spirit of the Lord is that perhaps the Lord is implanting upon Lehi's in heart the importance of records, the importance of a book, for a number of reasons. One, because, of course, the first main trial that Lehi's family has, in fact, that we have recorded, that doesn't include, of course, leaving their home and living in the wilderness, and you know, that's pretty difficult and trial-like itself. But the first significant event, I suppose, that takes place is the return to Jerusalem for Nephi, Sam, Laman, and Lemuel for the record of the scriptures in the brass plates. So perhaps it's implanting upon Lehi the importance of these records, but also, of course, the importance of keeping records. We know that Lehi does keep a record himself. We don't have that record, unfortunately, due to events of church history, which we can study in a couple of years, or, of course, you can study in the Doctrine and Covenants. But I just think that perhaps it's just trying to get across to Lehi the importance of reading and keeping these records. Anyway, moving forward, Lehi receives his testimony and how wonderful and powerful and great the Lord is and what he does for his people. The mercy that the Lord has, which is fascinating considering that he has got the revelation that Jerusalem is to be led away captive. But of course that it just shows that the Lord does work amongst his people and that he does ultimately save them, whilst the capture of Jerusalem to Babylon would have not seen by many a merciful God would have been behind that. Lehi ultimately will understand and know that the Lord will prepare a way for their escape and eventual redemption, whether that be when Jerusalem does go back to, or does get to leave Babylon, or whether that is because he understands the plan that the Lord has for his people in a spiritual sense as well. I think we'll stop it there. Thank you so much for listening and studying with us today, and we'll continue tomorrow when we pick up with Nephi's part of this and how he seeks to receive his own revelation about whether these things are true in chapter 2. Thank you for listening, and until we meet again.